ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 22, Text Number, what's on the board? 27. Yes, Text Number 27.
Evam me pundarikaksha
Evam me pundarikaksha
Mahantam samshayam hirdi Chetu Maharsi Savagya Vachurabhi Nayanai Punai Evam me pundarikaksha Mahantam samsayam hidi Chetu Maharsi Savagya Vacho bhinayanai punai Evam me pundarikaksha Mahantam samsayam hidi Chetu maharsi savagya Vacho bhinayanai punai
Prabhu, for translation, evam, thus,
me,
my,
pundarikaksha,
O lotus-eyed Lord,
mahantam,
great,
samshayam,
doubt,
hirdi,
within my heart,
chetum,
cut,
Arhasi,
you should please.
Savagya,
O omniscient one.
Vachobi,
with your words.
Naya,
in reasoning.
Naipunai,
very expert.
Purport.
Sri Uddhava requested Lord Krishna to clearly demonstrate the difference between the material body and the spirit soul. Is that the purport here? Oh, sorry, I just read the purport. Translation. O lotus-eyed Krishna, O omniscient Lord, kindly cut this great doubt out of my heart with your own words, which exhibit your great skill in reasoning. Translation responsively. O lotus-eyed
Krishna,
O omniscient Lord,
kindly cut this great doubt out of my heart.
With your own words.
Which exhibits your great skill in reasoning.
Purport. Sri Uddhava requested Lord Krishna to clearly demonstrate the difference between the material body and the spirit soul. So I'm going to read text 28 as well. Let me just switch this one. So we'll do text 27 and 28. Text 28.
Tvatvagyam hi jivanam pramoshastetra saktitam tvameva hayatma mayaya gatim vetana chapara.
Translation to text 28. From you alone the knowledge of the living being arises, and by your potency that knowledge is stolen away. Indeed, no one but yourself can understand the real nature of your illusory potency. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Mata Smriti Gyanam Apahonam Cha. From me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By the Lord's causeless mercy, one is enlightened with knowledge, and by the Lord's illusory potency, that knowledge vanishes, and one is merged into ignorance. Those bewildered by Maya cannot understand the difference between the material body and the spirit soul, and thus should hear from the Lord Himself to remove this illusory covering.
Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swami Pakadama Yantadati Swaparintukam. Vanchakalpa Trubhishchak Kripa Sindhibhya Eva Chapatitanam Pavani Bhu Vaishnava Bhu Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadatha Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Okay, so we're continuing with the discussion between Sri Uddhava and Lord Krishna discussing the elements of material creation. So over the past week we've been hearing about the different potencies, the different shaktis, the different tattvas, which ones get affected by the material energy or prakriti, etc., etc. We've been analyzing the difference between matter and spirit, and in text 27, this one-line purport that we have, we're having Uddhava asking Krishna to demonstrate the difference between the material body and the spirit soul. And the previous argument, of course, that Uddhava has been giving, he's been trying to explain that, well, as in the purport to text 26, sometimes it may seem like there's some contradictions, or the Shastra is not explaining things properly when it pertains to the body and the spirit, because sometimes it looks as if the body and the soul are the same. So we can find that we're, you know, as the body goes through the different changes, or as the soul gets implanted into the body, then the body is growing and changing, and then the soul leaves the body. So sometimes Uddhava is explaining that it looks like the soul and the body are temporary, because they're coming and going. So the soul is taking on body after body, and the bodies are changing. So we can classify the soul and the body on the same platform, because they're always changing. So the soul is trapped within the body, and it looks like it's going through different changes, and the body externally we can see that it's going through changes as well. So sometimes it may look like, well, the soul and the body are the same. What is the big difference between the soul and the body? So this is what Uddhava is asking Krishna to demonstrate, to explain clearly what is this body and what is the soul. And this, of course, has been gradually being explained by Krishna from a much larger point of view. Krishna, of course, has been explaining the elements of material creation. He's been explaining the universal egg as to how the creation process is taking place, how, first of all, matter is created in its subtle and in its gross form. So the material body that we also have, you know, is gross. It has its different elements that it's made of, and it also has its subtle aspect. So from the universal egg down to our own little universal egg here, the body is made from these different elements, right? And it's explained with the creation process how, you know, Krishna is the original person, and he's expanding to Balaram, and Balaram is expanding, and producing the Chaturvyuha and the Narayana expansion is coming. From the Narayana expansion, Mahavishnu is coming, and the three Purusha avatars are created. So Krishna himself, in his different forms as Mahavishnu, Karnadakashaya Vishnu, sometimes called Shirodakashaya Vishnu, entering into the universal planets and entering into the hearts of each and every living entity. And then from that point, different subtle and gross elements start manifesting. So all the knowledge acquiring senses, the modes of material nature, the working senses are created, and in that way the gross elements are created. Even on a subtle form, the mind, intelligence, false ego get created. But it's not only until another energy, the Lord himself, is glancing through Shambhu or Rudra and impregnating and activating the gross and subtle elements. So only up until that point is everything then manifested or activated. Because up until that point, even the material elements are unmanifested. So even we see in our own body, everything can be created. The scientists, they can make different bodies, etc. But if that potency, if this special energy of the soul is not injected within the body, the material elements also cannot become activated. So on a larger scale, looking at the universal creation, all the elements are there. But Krishna's energy, Krishna's potency, allows those elements to become active. So similarly for us, the body is there while it's growing. While at the time of conception, the soul enters. And in that way, the body starts growing and producing different limbs and parts, etc. So we can see there's two different energies that are involved here. Krishna in chapter 7 of the Bhagavad Gita, he's explaining about his different energies. Krishna is explaining that he has his superior energy and he has his inferior energy. And we cannot classify both energies on the same level. Just as we cannot judge, let's say we take a tree and we take... Let's say we try and get a tree and a peacock, and we put them side by side. So obviously the characteristics will be totally different and diverse, because one, you know, not even a tree, let's say we take a twig or wood. So it's not conscious. And that's eternal. And then you take a peacock, you know. It has life, it's active, it's broken by a product, etc., etc. So we cannot put the two on the same scale. So similarly, we cannot put matter and spirit on the same scale, because it's coming from two separate energies. So Krishna has these two separate energies. One is superior and one is inferior. So I'll just read how Srila Prabhupada is explaining here. The inferior energy is matter manifested in different elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. So that is the inferior elements that of course are coming from Krishna's energy. Both forms of material nature, namely gross and subtle, are products of the inferior energy. The living entities who are exploiting these inferior energies for different purposes are the superior energy of the Lord. So this point is just made. This is text 5 of chapter 7. That you have these energies that Krishna is creating matter and spirit. So with matter, you have your gross, you know, your gross elements, and you have your subtle. And that's what constitutes our material body. But then even finer than that, the spirit soul is not governed by these different elements. The spirit soul, Satchidananda Vigraha, is coming from, you know, Krishna's superior energy. That's why we have this quality of Satchit and Ananda, because that is Krishna's superior energy. Whereas these other characteristics of matter, dull, inert, you know, these are not Krishna's superior energy. It's inferior. But the minute we try and equate these energies with who we really are, then that's where Srila Prabhupada is explaining, especially in this purport of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that Krishna himself says, from him comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So when we identify with that inferior energy of Krishna, we merge our body with the soul, and we start thinking that actually the body is who we are. We become covered and we cannot understand who we really are. And in that case, this is why it is said in the purport that once you think you are the body, you become covered by this illusory potency of the Lord, which is an inferior energy. Because we're attached to the inferior energy, it covers or it clouds our real identity. So this intense identification of the material elements as being superior is what gets us into illusion. Even just on a simple platform of trying to understand not only the universe, but only just trying to understand the body that we're using. If we're thinking that the gross elements that are making up the body, if we're thinking that the subtle elements which are making up the body is who we really are, then we're in illusion, as the purport is explaining. Because we are a separate energy. And the reason why we come to believe that we're these gross or subtle elements is because we identify too much with them. Because we're neglecting the spiritual, and we're neglecting the spiritual aspect of who we are. So Prabhupada's servants here explaining that those who are bewildered by Maya cannot understand the difference between matter and spirit. So when Krishna says, Dai vihai esha guna mai mama maya duratraya, this energy of Krishna, Krishna's energy, which consists of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. That the only way you can actually overcome this maya or this illusion is by actually taking shelter of Krishna. He is the one who moves this veil of ignorance. But if we're still identifying with the body, it becomes difficult to know who we really are. And of course, when we identify with the body, we're also identifying with the modes of material nature. And when you identify with these three lower modes, you know, we also start suffering, right? Srila Prabhupada explains that these are the stringent laws of material nature. Stringent means, you know, they're pulling, they're not stringent. It's not a positive effect. It always leads to some kind of degradation, pulling you down from your normal inclination. So when you identify with your body, gross and subtle, when you identify with the modes of material nature to be superior, you become covered. And the real knowledge that we have is not incomplete, is not in full. So this is what Srila Prabhupada is explaining, that if we become covered by this maya, there's no way that we can actually understand the difference between matter and spirit. Just as if we're preaching and you go to areas where people are just so grossly absorbed in themselves, or if you go and try and preach to scientists who think that, you know, their mind and intelligence is the highest thing, you can't actually break through because there's just so much ignorance covering them. They're identifying with their mind and they're identifying with their intelligence as who they are. So they cannot understand Krishna. And this is the point. This is Maya. When you're using your mind and intelligence to separate Krishna from matter and spirit. So the fact is, yes, this material energy, as Krishna is explaining, is coming from him. The spiritual energy is coming from him. There cannot be a discussion of the material world or creation of the material world or the universes without mentioning Krishna, because he's the power behind everything. He's activating everything. He's supplying all the ingredients. And then he appoints different personalities to kind of start pressing buttons and put everything into practice. But everything is coming from me. Everything rests on Krishna. And he says in Bhagavad Gita. So even material creation, all these different elements that get reproduced and that get annihilated at the end of Brahma's day, or that get created again, these are all coming from Krishna. And as Krishna says, it's just a spark of his splendor. So I'll just read a little bit again from chapter 7, because there's a lot that we can understand with this verse as well. So all created beings have their source in these two natures. Of all that is material and all that is spiritual in this world, know for certain that I am both the origin and the dissolution. So Krishna is verifying, yes, these material elements are coming from me. And of course Krishna is nirguna. He's not affected by any type of mode of material nature. He's above all of that. And at the same time, he's in charge of it. He is Vishnu Tattva. Any other tattva becomes contaminated by these modes of material nature. So Srila Prabhupada in the purport is explaining that everything of course that exists is a product of matter and spirit. Spirit is the basic field of creation and matter is created by a spirit. So most of the time we're thinking that spirit is created by matter. Well, at least not for us, but out there everyone is thinking, spirit comes from matter. There was a bang and then there was us. You know, there was, I don't know who was telling me the example the other day of, well, who was giving class and they gave this example, I think it was Yamuna Leela, when she gave this example about how, I think it was Charles Darwin, anyway, there were some scientists who did not actually accept this Big Bang theory and how everything just comes by chance. And this scientist, he was pleading and saying, yes, it is by chance. Things are just kind of like, you know, happening. The sun just kind of rises every morning, or, you know, at the same time. You know, it's given sunlight to everyone. You know, the rain just comes, or the planets are somehow in orbit. They move around at the same speed every year for the past millions of years. That's just by chance, etc. So this scientist, he was just pushing and pushing that everything is by chance. It just exploded and everything fell into place. And the next day he called his friend back. The scientist who was trying to refute this argument would call this, you know, Big Bang Theory fired up person and said, okay, you just come tomorrow and we'll have another discussion about what you're saying. And the next day, the scientist comes and he walks into his house and he finds everything in such a mess. Like everything was just so messed up. He couldn't understand what type of person lives in this house. And then he went away, and when he came back again, the next day, everything was packed neatly, arranged, organized. And he commented and said, wow, your house is so neat and clean, everything is orderly. You know, who did it? Do you have someone working, etc.? You know, do you have a maid or something? And this friend who was trying to prove a point that there's no way that everything in existence is just happening by chance. And he said, well, you know, I was in the room and then there was this big bang in the house and then everything just kind of like went into the shelves, everything kind of folded itself, you know, it was just a bang. It's funny enough, the scientists were like, no, there's, don't be ridiculous, there's no such thing. How can a big bang just produce order and, you know, a systemized way of packing stuff? It can't be a big bang. Then he just looked at him and say, well, how then can you think such a huge thing like the universe can be produced from a big bang? How can just the sun be in orbit, given sun in all parts of the world? How can the seasons be coming and going at the same time, different parts of the world? It's not just by a big bang. So those who are stuck, you know, Krishna, as he says, Mata Smriti Gyanam Apahonam Cha, from him comes knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness. So if we want to forget how Krishna is the source of both matter and spirit, if we want to separate Krishna from creation, then Krishna will give us the impetus, okay, fine, dive deep into the deep dark well of speculation. Krishna gives opportunity for that. And in that way, the living entity becomes covered by Maya. So the living entity cannot know that he's actually separate, that he's actually spirit and that his body is matter. So this he will not know unless he actually approaches Krishna. Because Krishna, you know, he reserves him, you know, to present himself to certain living entities, those who are sincere, those who want to understand him. He's not forced to reveal himself to everyone. As you know, as we perform activities in devotional service, Krishna reciprocates accordingly. So this is what happens. This is how Krishna functions. So the soul is always there, but we can see that the body is always changing. And we see that the soul doesn't change who we are. You know, we're not really changing. We're just going through different emotions. You know, we get different ideas. You know, we see different ways of change in the society, etc. But we still remain the same person. Whereas we can see the body itself is just always changing. And because it's made up of an inferior energy. And the characteristics of that inferior energy is that, you know, it has a beginning and an end. And the superior energy is just eternal, always existing, full of knowledge, eternality and bliss, and it has a form. So sometimes we struggle to see that within the body there's the spirit soul. Because of this illusion, this Maya, this deep Maya that we're in, there's an example that's given that sometimes, you know, the sun is just always shining. But in some parts of the world it will be day and some parts it will be night. But this does not mean that the sun is not there. And sometimes there's clouds covering the sky. But the sun is there. Sometimes we don't see the sun, but the sun is there. It's a fact. We can get the sunlight, we see ourselves, we see our surroundings, etc. So similarly, although the body, you know, the soul is stuck within the body, we can't see the body. I mean, we can't see the soul, but it is there. Because of this constant illusory potency that's covering us, we cannot perceive that the soul is within the body. And right now, if we think about it, if we tell someone that we're not the body, we're spirit souls, you know, it's hard for them to understand because they're just feeding their gross and subtle body with material intelligence, etc. So when we feed this material intelligence, like someone was saying the other day, we're feeding the black dog. We have two dogs. We have this divine dog and we have a demoniac dog. And the more we feed the demoniac dog, it keeps on barking and making noise. And it makes us shy away from seeing the light, from understanding the purpose of life. Whereas if we feed the divine dog, you know, it takes us gradually to the Vedas, which deals mainly with giving us an understanding at least of the fact that we're not matter, that we're spirit. that we should inquire about that. Aham Brahmasmi. Right? And when we starve this demonic tendency due to intense association with the modes of material nature and how they're interacting with the senses, when we starve that tendency, you know, when you starve someone, they just don't stay. If someone comes to your house and they want to stay over and you don't feed them, they're just going to go away. If we have family and friends and they come over and we don't feed them, don't give them water, it's only a matter of time till they go and they won't come back. So if we learn to feed our divine nature, our divine consciousness with knowledge pertaining to what is the body and what is spirit and what is the source of both, then we can actually make gradual process. Then this Maya will not affect us. Then Krishna reciprocate, as he says, he gives us knowledge and remembrance about our real identity. And those who do not, whether it's from, you know, the smallest living entity up to the Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or whoever, or different devatas, it depends on our sincere contribution to trying to understand Aham Brahmasmi, this point that I am spirit. So Krishna, these doubts that Uddhava is posing, very similar to, you know, Arjuna as well is posing his doubts about why he doesn't want to fight, because he's relating to his family members as just lumps of matter. Right? He's not seeing that, you know, there's a difference between the body and the spirit. So these doubts, of course Uddhava is not doubting anything that Krishna is saying, but he's asking these questions for the sake of those who are conditioned and those who are covered by this illusion. We can get doubts sometimes when we're practicing Krishna consciousness and, you know, sometimes think, you know, will Krishna take care of me forever? You know, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, but I'm not feeling anything. Or I'm supposed to be ecstatic and enlivened by kirtan, but it's not happening. So we start doubting, we're like, okay, what's going on? Is this process working? Or no one has ever come back to tell us, yes, I saw Krishna, or, you know, yes, I had a glimpse of Goloka Vrindavan. Or you go to another center and people look like they're blissed out and they're acting like peacocks or swans or gopis, and we're thinking this must be it. We should understand that Krishna is supremely intelligent, and if we look at who Krishna's topmost servant is, we'll understand just how much qualification we need to get to actually reach the topmost level of self-realization. Like Krishna has formulated different religions, different faiths, he's sent different scriptures according to the different grades of people's consciousness, what they can handle. And he's given, you know, the cream of the entire knowledge in the universe, Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, as a way to actually attain the highest point. There is no one above Krishna, because Krishna is the highest. So he's given us all that knowledge, and it just requires that we try and apply this process. The only fault is that we have our limitations, we have our faults, because we have a package which entails karma and a package which entails a material body. And from that we have miseries coming from everywhere, from our mind, from the body, you know, from everything. The modes of material nature are like burning us all the time. Our senses are pulling us all the time. Do this, do that, go here, go there. And then you deal with other people who are controlled by the modes of material nature. And then you're dealing with yourself. So it's a lot, it's kind of like a lot to kind of fathom. How am I going to walk through this desert, because sometimes Kadamba Kanan Maharaj uses this analogy of sometimes it looks like we're in a desert and we're trying to reach to Goloka Vrindavan, and all we keep seeing is mirages, and the ground is like copper and the sun is hitting like anything, and you're chanting Hare Krishna and you're going, you know, it's like the long walk to freedom. And you're walking, it's like, when will I get there? Because Krishna wants to see, do you really want to get there, or do you just want the glittery, flowery language of the Vedic literature, or do you just want wealth and fame? So Krishna wants to see, what do you really want? If you're sincere, then I reciprocate with you. If you want all these things, then I will guide you to them. If you want to stay on the bodily platform, I'll give you a process for that. If you just want to keep on having a material body because you think you're the body, I will supply you, because guess what? Matter and spirit comes from me. Everything has its foundation and its basis on me. Everything rests on Krishna as pearls are strung on a thread. So as soon as we try and remove Krishna from the equation, we're just suffering. We cannot exist properly in our natural state. So if we all just take our kansi malas and just remove the thread, you know, we're just only concerned with tulsi, you know, we're going to remove the thread, forget about this thread, and we remove it, then everyone's tulsi bees are scattered everywhere. And then what's the point of trying to have, we'll walk around with our tulsis in our palms? Yes, this is tulsi. I have tulsi. And removing the thread from the equation, which is necessary, which is the basis. So if we try and remove Krishna from the equation of trying to understand what is matter and what is spirit, then we won't understand. Then we'll be in complete illusion over and over again. This is why those who deride that Krishna is a person, or that Krishna is also the source of Brahman, they keep on going up and down, never actually getting to the bottom of understanding the relationship between matter and spirit. So one is superior and one is inferior. We should understand what constitutes the living entity is the superior energy. And Krishna is creating the inferior energy as a way to try and, as Brahmaji is explaining, as a way to facilitate the activities of the living entity so that he may gradually make progress and go back home, back to Godhead. So it's not that the material creation is just created to give us enjoyment. It's actually not. It's meant to give us a wake-up call, and that constitutes a lot of suffering. So for us, sometimes we think our suffering is... Sorry, we think that we're actually happy, but this happiness is just the smallest degree of suffering. So people suffer in different ways, and when the suffering is not so much, they actually see it as enjoyment. But we can see, everything you do in the material world, you're trying to fix this problem, and then that problem is fixed, and then there's another problem you have to fix. And then something goes wrong, and then this and that, and then it goes on and on again. Because we're identifying with matter, and we're feeding the false ego. So the false ego will continually interact with the modes of material nature. And by doing so, it will continually take shelter of matter, take shelter of the material body, which is gross and subtle, and take shelter of the senses. So in that way, we're meant to try and understand and hear from Krishna himself, as he explains. He's saying that we should... Uddhava is saying that he wants to hear from Krishna himself, and Krishna is the goal of the Vedas. He's the compiler of the entire Vedanta Sutras. So who else can explain himself but him? Who else can explain Krishna but Krishna? Right? We can speculate about Krishna, And a lot of people have speculated about Krishna. So I can come up to you, then ask you a question. I'll say, so Gaura Mantra, where are you from? And you'll respond by saying you're... Well, actually what you're saying is, you're not actually from Russia, but you just came along to Australia, you heard about the sun, you were actually somewhere in America, you know, so we can speculate about Krishna like that. Like, Krishna's words are here for us to use. So if Krishna's saying, okay, these are my energies, and basically you're the superior energy, and because now you're identifying with the inferior energy, which has its characteristics of covering you and putting you down, you have forgotten your real identity. And the only way you can reawaken this identity you have is by following a process, this process that I'm giving you of bhakti, which is the highest, the easiest, and the most sublime way of getting to know me. And then we say, well, I don't know. I want something more difficult. Some people want something harder. They think the process of bhakti is too easy. You just chant Hare Krishna. Some people think there's not enough austerity. So these are the different concoctions that we can get about Krishna and his personality and his potencies. But Krishna himself here is going to explain, okay, these are my energies, this is how they function, and this is how you can surpass these lower modes and bring you back to your original consciousness, back to your original constitution of understanding that you're not matter and that you're spirit. So these are all conversations which basically lead us back to the first understanding of spiritual life, that we're not the body, we're spirit souls. So unless we get beyond that, everything else is not going to gel. Because we'll always be identifying with matter when it's not. So this is Krishna's way of making us understand the basic points of philosophy, the difference between matter and spirit. They're both made of two separate energies. One is high and one is lower. And we fall under the higher energy, and we're meant to rise above that by practicing and taking shelter of Krishna conscious activities to make us more aware and to revive this understanding. For us to continue, we need to have some knowledge about Krishna's energies and how we relate to those energies properly. I shall stop there. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Okay, so everyone understands we're not the body, we're spirit souls. So we'll get ready today to serve Krishna beyond the bodily platform. Hare Krishna. Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki. Shri Prabhupada.